time to run.
Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. You have happened across the only podcast completely dedicated to learning and mastering the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run training method right from Jeff himself. Jeff's Run Walk Run training method has been developed and evolved over many years using feedback from nearly 500,000 of your fellow runners. This podcast will run walk run you gently through Jeff's training methods to get you to the finish line of your next event or simply help you run to your 100. So lace up those running shoes and let's get moving.
Hello and welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition 4.5. How is everyone doing? This is your host Kevin and I'm out on a very pleasant cool down actually. I just finished about a 5.25 mile run today. And as you can hear, the cicadas are out here in Cincinnati. So I've got about a mile and a half cool down that I'm throwing here at the end. The weather has been just about perfect running weather, and it's really showing in my running. I'm not getting terribly fast, but I'm feeling awfully good. And as you'll see in today's show, to me, feeling good while I run is way more important than getting fast anymore. So, and I think I would be remiss while I'm speaking of the weather if I didn't mention some of the nasty weather that recently has hit Texas and Florida specifically, and I guess parts of Louisiana as well. And I've checked on quite a few extra milers who were anywhere from just on the periphery to right in the center of those nasty hurricanes, and I can safely say at least everyone I've checked in on has been safe and sound. Some damage to property, some electricity outages, but the most important thing is they and their families are all safe and sound, including, by the way, Coach Twiggs down there outside of Jacksonville that got hit pretty darn hard. It just amazed me. I watched Jacksonville in particular just because of some friends I have down there, including Chris. That wasn't even in the, that part of Florida wasn't even in the direct path of Irma, but boy, those storm surges are nasty things, and it's gonna be a while before a lot of those cities dig out. So anyway, prayers to all of you extra milers. Glad everything's going about as well as can be expected. So my training, I mentioned earlier that I was feeling pretty good these days. My long run, I've been doing at least an 8 miler every week, right? Once I got my long run up to 8 miles, I kept doing at least one a week. Even 1 week, my long run so far is 9 miles, so next week I'll bump that up to 10. But even on my off weeks, which this is one, I've been doing an 8 miler, and honestly, I'm not sure if that's helping or not, but it's certainly not hurting, and psychologically it kind of gives me a little bit of a boost. I've been running rather slow, but finishing happy, upright, smile on my face, and I've been playing around with the ratios, and it always intrigues me when you play around. Do you guys play around with the ratios? Jeff will bring that up in today's episode. So listen closely. to, I think he mentions about it when he and Barb ran the Disneyland half in the heat. But he does mention about playing around with ratios, and I do that a lot. And it always intrigues me on the results I get. Some good, some bad, but you know, I'm always learning something. So I'm feeling better than I am making some progress toward my light at the end of the tunnel, which is in December in Atlanta at the JG 13.1. So in this episode, of course, we will catch up with Jeff and let everyone know where you can catch up with Jeff in the coming weeks. We'll also discuss some run, walk, run elements as they relate to improving your speed. Once again, that's assuming that you want to improve your speed. We'll also ask Jeff some pretty fascinating questions from some very lovable extra milers, get his take on some of those deals. We will also get some updates on some plans Jeff and I are discussing about the JG 13.1. And even if there's absolutely no way that you can join us this year in Atlanta, pay attention, okay? Lastly, we will get another update from Coach Twiggs and our lovable extra mile guinea pig, Chris Darling. Good stuff, check it out. And we'll chat again at the end. Y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Early walk breaks erase fatigue, so let's start this episode with a gentle walk break.
So as always, we're going to start off with a gentle walk break, as we always do on our nice runs, and that's the part of the show where we catch up with Mr. Galloway, and we've got Jeff on the phone here today. Good morning, Jeff. How are we doing?
Doing absolutely fabulous here. This is the lull after the storm, the big Irma coming through the south. Definitely Irma made a visit in Atlanta, but we are recovering from that, and the Galloways are not totally unscathed, but in good shape, so we're happy.
Good. I got a lot of people pinging me, asking me how things went for you down in Atlanta, so that's good to hear. Did you miss any running at all?
I did. We had one day in which the weather was just horrible, and things were falling out of trees all over the place. So not a healthy environment to run. So we took that off, and then I took a second day off yesterday just because we had some family things going on. And I was missing it so badly that I just had to get out the door, which I did just about 45 minutes ago. And wonderful.
Well, it's good. It's good you came through that unscathed. And for the listeners who are still concerned about Coach Twiggs, he came through. We spoke with Chris about a week ago, right before the storm was coming through Florida. So the context of that conversation was, you know, be careful. But just for other listeners, Chris got himself out of Dodge for that nasty event, and he came through, and his family came through unscathed as well. So that's good to hear.
Yes.
So beyond the last few days and hunkering down for Irma, let's catch up just if we could for a few minutes on where else you've been. The last time we spoke, you had this huge swing through the entire state of Florida. How did that turn out? Did you have some good crowds?
Yes, it was very well attended. Again, I monitor the attendance year to year, and most of the locations we had higher than normal. In addition, we have several new programs with the Fit to Run stores, several of those in Florida. And so we're very pleased at the job that they are doing, getting our training programs going. So I made several visits there, too, and that's what really added to the number of stops on my whirlwind tour. Yeah.
Do you find it's interesting to me, some states seem to be big running states. You know, sometimes you think of a state as a big high school football state or something like that. But do you find Florida is a big state for running?
It definitely is. And I think a lot of it has to do with the year-round weather. People don't have that downtime during the winter. But Texas is very similar, too. But if I had to guess, and I've never really looked at the figures, My guess would be that Florida has the second highest population of runners, percentage-wise. I would guess that California has the highest, and similar issues with weather. They have generally really good weather.
Nice. So after that stint through Florida, you headed off to Alaska, and that's your eighth trip. So there must be something about that trip that you like a lot.
Well, yeah. Temperature at the start this year was 51 degrees, and the temperature at the finish was 51 degrees. It was absolutely fabulous. Ideal running. There was light rain, but I mean, it was so light that all it did is just keep you from getting warm. And just pleasant the whole way. We, Barbara and I, do their ultra there, which is a 49 kilometer in the 49th state. And just so many nice people up there, and really good places to eat and run and socialize with friends.
49 kilometers. That's just, I can't do the math in my head. 30 miles, right? A little over 30 miles.
30.4.
Whoa. So, not to be spoiled, too much spoiled by the weather in Anchorage, you then headed to Disneyland Half Marathon, where you were not spoiled very well with the weather, were you?
No. I think that our starting temperature there of 81 degrees was about the highest of any Disney event. It started at 5 a.m. 81 was the low, and that's very unusual for Orange County, California. It does happen, but it sure did happen on race day, and I've never seen it that hot, nearly that hot, at the start of any of their races out there. But we survived, and there, to my knowledge, were no serious heat issues. Carissa was on the stage giving repeated warnings about the heat, and then with I scripted her the instructions on the slowing down, 30 seconds per mile slower for every 5 degrees above 60, and she dutifully got that word out. And I noticed that people were heeding that, and several people during and after the race mentioned that that made a big difference to them.
So This is probably a perfect point then to introduce the listeners to Carissa, because you mentioned her. She's a announcer for some of the Disney run events. Tell us about Carissa.
Well, Carissa is also a registered dietitian and a certified personal trainer. She does a lot of work in fitness. Yes, she does video highlights and spots and announcing and so forth, but she is an expert, and we bring her in to a number of events to provide nutritional content and to answer questions. Carissa has become our official nutritional consultant, and she will be there at the Jeff Barb weekend in December. Very personable. She speaks in language that you can understand. She has common sense choices of food. You don't have to get exotic food to get good nutrition. And she doesn't have any problem in allowing people to have foods that they dearly love in their diet as long as they're budgeted for. So anyway, she's very knowledgeable. And if you have any nutrition questions, we can have her address those both on the podcast sometime and or in our newsletter. We will have articles from Carissa about every month or two in our Jeff Galloway newsletter, which you can get free. Just go to jeffgalloway.com and register for our newsletter.
Very good. That's kind of exciting. And for those of you who will be at the JG 13.1 this year, we'll chat with Carissa further and in detail. And by all means, if you have some specific nutrition questions, get them off to us, and we'll get her on the next episode. I'm sure she'll join us for that as well. Thank you. That's interesting. Back to the Disneyland half in the heat. I had one other question about that, Jeff. When you and Barbara are getting ready for a race like that, let's say the morning of, and the temperatures are like that, do you two actually discuss verbally about your plan for that race? Hey, it's 81 degrees. Here's our pace for this. Do you discuss your plan before that race ever starts?
We usually do. We'll be night before is when we really focus on what we're going to wear. And we'll spend half an hour to an hour just going through key elements and share with one another as to what we plan to wear and what we plan to use for fluids and that sort of thing. The main thing that we talked about before our 81 degree start in Disneyland was what Run Walk Run strategy we were going to use. And so we usually use a 30 second run and a 15 second walk, but we downshifted to 22:11. And you might ask, now where in the heck does that come from? Well, I have to tell you, I experiment all the time on my runs with various quirky type of strategies. And I just happened, but 22 seconds is not going to build up as much heat as 30 seconds. And it worked. We really didn't have any significant problems with the heat.
That's very interesting. While we're on that topic of the 22:11, I did want to point one thing out. I get a lot of questions about your interval timer and folks asking about how easy that thing is to change. 22:11 is a non-standard ratio. Once you have used that timer for a very small period of time, I can change mine on the fly. In the middle of a run, I can change mine in maybe 15 seconds, tops. I mean, it's so easy, isn't it?
That is common, and I will tell you that I'm not a gadget junkie, Kevin. I really don't go into Best Buy and fiddle with all the equipment and all that sort of stuff. My son Brennan does that, and he helps me a lot. But this timer, when we first started getting the timer, that was one piece of apparatus that I didn't have to ask Brennan to set for me. It is so easy to operate, and most of our members of our training program who are over a certain age and usually rely on children or grandchildren to set these things have told me that they also have not had any trouble. It usually takes about 4 to 5 minutes to fiddle with it and get your routine down. But once you do that, it's usually a reset within 15 to 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's very easy. It's very easy. So the last thing I wanted to bring up about where you've been since we spoke was I want to say it was just midweek of last week. It was the KP Run Walk, Kaiser Permanente Run Walk event, right? Am I pronouncing that right?
That is correct. And it was fabulous, Kevin. It was, a lot of sporting events have been moving to the periphery of our wonderful city of Atlanta, including the Atlanta Braves, where we used to hold the Kaiser Permanente Corporate 5K. But we have made a commitment to downtown Atlanta. We want people to experience the growing number of really neat sites and courses that are available for running. And this one was really the best course that I've ever heard about down there. We go by the Georgia Aquarium, the International Human Rights Museum, Centennial Olympic Park, Skyview Atlanta, which is a giant Ferris wheel. We run right by it. We go by the Georgia Dome, which is still up there, and then we go by the Mercedes Stadium, along with a number of other landmarks along the way. And the race actually finishes curving around the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the Falcons are playing. It's a magnificent building. And what we have done is change the whole concept in a venue for a race. We actually are having as our staging area where people gather before and after the event in the Georgia World Congress Center. It's air conditioned, it's protected from weather, and it has an additional police force that are super in there. It's and MARTA will come right into the area. So there are two MARTA stations where you can access our venue. The other major thing that people commented on is instead of porta-johns, we have indoor toilets. Whoopee. Anyway, it's a fabulous venue, and the folks that have been coming for years absolutely loved it. So I hope that those of you who are in Atlanta, or if you are out of town coming into Atlanta for any reason in the September timeframe, I hope you can join us. It's really a very wonderful way to celebrate fitness in a corporation, building teamwork while you build fitness at the same time.
I saw a video of that race, and I'm guessing since we just spoke about technology, you had very little to do with this, but somebody at the Galloway production company got a hold of a drone, I think, right? Did you see that video?
Yes, I there we had a number of photographers out there, but Brennan Galloway put the video together and has just a lot of stellar views of the course. So take a look at it. People have fun at that event. They really do. And we had a great band that entertained everybody, Rupert's Orchestra, which has been around Atlanta for a long time and has a really big following. It's just a fun event. And so fitness and fun at the same time.
Very good. Put that on your calendar for next September if you guys are in town. So coming up, I know you. I want to talk about a couple of things coming up. One is Montana. You're going back to Billings for the marathon. I know you do that. You've done that before, right?
I have. Barb and I did that a few years ago, but we are going back to Billings. And as you know, I love Montana. It's really one of my favorite states. It is beautiful. This course is mostly Montana ranch land. You are bused outside of town and you run into Billings. Friendly people, good Western feeling there, and I'm looking forward to going back to Montana.
So for those of you, and Jeff, you can confirm this, but when I was looking at this race, the course evaluation or elevation, it looks like the first half is pretty flat. It might be 200 feet over that first 11, 12 miles of an upgrade. But then from then all the way to the finish, it's downhill.
Yes, yes. And you know, when it's possible for a race organization to find a start elevation that's higher than the finish, the runners like it.
God bless them. That's right. Yeah, so that's coming up just in a few days, actually. And then the other one I noticed you're going to is the Atlantic City Marathon. That's October the 21st, I think.
That is our September event, and that I have run the half there. I'm looking forward to running the full. It runs a good bit on the fabulous boardwalk there, and it goes out into some of the nicer neighborhoods. Anyway, it's along the beach, and it really is well run, very, very well organized. So I'm really looking forward to that. And something that may not be on your schedule, Kevin, I'm going to Kansas and Missouri next weekend, not the one coming up, but the one after that, to kick off some programs there in Lawrence, Kansas, and also St. Joe, Missouri. We have a new group in St. Joe, Missouri. So if you're in the area, come on by for my free clinics.
Very good. That's on the 23rd of September. Very good. All right, so that was a nice, gentle walk break. Let's get into a run interval part of the show where we focus a little bit more on run, walk, run elements. Jeff, I noticed in a recent article, I wanted to touch upon this. I want to quote you from a recent article and then get into a little bit more specifics. But in this recent article I read, you are quoted as saying that most runners at some time in their career had this idea that running faster will give them the confidence to do more running, even faster races, and bring more running enjoyment. And in most cases that you're aware of, it rarely happens. Tell me what that means. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've actually gotten a lot of comments on that one way or the other. And the bottom line is that I hear from an average of around 100 runners a day now, mostly via email. But when I'm at events, it's several hundred every day coming up, chatting, talking, asking questions. And over again, the most common statement that these runners make is, because I have been able to get into this endurance running and walking, my life has been changed in so many positive ways. I have never heard anyone say, because I'm running 10 seconds a mile faster in my half marathon, my life has changed in so many positive ways. almost every one of the benefits that you get from running, as I've identified them from people's comments, occur from doing it regularly. And when you build up to a given distance, you keep pushing back the barriers, and that turns on the brain circuits for a better attitude, more vitality, personal empowerment. And so that's where the huge benefits occur. Now, there's nothing wrong with running faster. The downside of it is that there's more fatigue. There can be exhaustion if you step over the line, and there can be injury. And so you really have to be careful doing it. And you'll see in my books, 5K, 10K, half marathon, year-round plan, that there are some safe ways to run speed. But the biggest problem that people have today is when they go out and run with a friend that is faster than they are, and they try to keep up with them on a day when they're not quite ready to do that. So there are a lot of issues with it. If you gradually build into it, it's a fun game to see how much you can improve during a season. And there are some legitimate reasons why you would want to stay ahead of the balloon ladies in the Disney races, to be able to run with a friend or a relative that you want to. And by using the magic mile, there are a lot of good ways that you can tell if it's in the cards. And then if you'll follow the schedules that you'll see in my books and on the website, a lot of people do achieve their goals. But again, don't expect things to get wonderful because you run fast.
So in that vein, this article also mentioned five ways to improve your time. And I don't know if you remember all those off the top of your head, but I've got them in front of me. So a couple of them intrigued me. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to bring a couple of
them up. Yeah.
Well, here's one that kind of intrigues me. Run, now this is obviously a way to improve your time. Run at race pace for 4 to 6 half miles 1 day per week, and try different run, walk, run amounts.
Yes.
Tell me about that. Give me an example, and then why would we do it?
That's what I call race pace training, because a lot of folks get carried away when they get into a race. They're excited. They probably let the monkey brain take over in the beginning, and as a result of that, they go out too fast and they compromise their time goal, but they also make the race a whole lot more difficult at the end. So, and the reason why that I've identified why most people go out too fast is that they really have never had any race pace experience. They may run some speed work that's faster than race pace, and they're running slower than race pace on long runs. So I believe that if you're trying for a certain pace in a race, that you need to get yourself ready and learn to sense that you are at that pace. And I found that the best way to do that for most people is to have one day a week that's devoted to 4 to 6 of those half miles. And in each one of them, you can try a different run, walk, run. So not only do you learn race pace, you learn which run, walk, run strategy can really help you for that. And take 2 to 3 minutes walking in between to recover.
The quantity that you mentioned here, 4 to 6 of those half miles, is that based on particularly training for a half or a full, or does it not really matter?
Usually, that would be for the half or the marathon. But if you're running shorter events, quarter mile repetitions at race pace will work. And for beginners who are trying to stay ahead of the balloon lady, at first, I do recommend doing 4 to 8 quarter miles, walking 2 to 3 minutes in between. And again, the balloon lady pace in the Disney races is 16 minutes per mile. That means 4 minutes per quarter mile. So you get used to locking on to a pace that's maybe a few seconds faster than 4 minutes, which doesn't seem very fast when you're running one lap around a track. But if you make a mistake of going out too fast when you get into a race, then you can end up slower than that at the end and struggle.
One of the other items you have in this list I see is that 1 or 2 days a week, do 4 to 8 running form drills such as the cadence drill and acceleration gliders.
Yes.
Do you recommend these? Well, let me say, you say 1 or 2 days a week. Do you do cadence drills and acceleration gliders in the same run, or you rotate those different runs?
I'm glad you brought that up because every week I get a few questions that same question. And the answer is most people tend to feel that if they do the cadence drill first and then the acceleration glider, that they work well together. So I do recommend that. But if you're limited on time and can only get in one or the other, then you could do the cadence drill on one day and the acceleration glider on the other day. The beauty of these two drills is that they will warm you up for whatever you're doing in the rest of that run. If you're doing a magic mile, those two drills will warm you up for that. If you're doing some of the race rehearsal segments we just talked, again, the drills are great for a warm-up right before you do it. And then right before a race, it'll help too. One of the other major benefits for either the cadence drill or the acceleration glider is that during a race, if you're starting to slow down towards the end, you can throw in a set of 4. Cadence drill primarily, but some people find that the acceleration glider works at least as well. But throw in a set of 4 of those, and in many, many cases, runners are picking the pace back up. So it's a really good tool to use at the end. And by practicing that, each one of those once a week, you not only will be able to use that at the end of the race, but you're going to tend to get smoother, more efficient, and as a result, a little faster.
And I'll just throw in one comment. After you get done with these, I try to do it immediately before I even take my shoes off when I come through the door. Write this stuff down so that you know the next time you go out, you can compare that, you can see what, if you're making improvement, if you're not, why you're not, that kind of thing. But if you don't write this stuff down, you kind of forget if you're doing it right, don't you think?
Oh, good point, Kevin. And also, if you the whole concept of the cadence drill is to start out on the first one just with a blank slate. Don't try to do what you finished up with the previous week. But it is a good idea to write it down. One reason is you start to use your conscious brain whenever you write something down, and you can analyze it, and then you can see patterns and make changes. But the second reason for writing it down is you will tend to forget it if you don't write it down right away.
Absolutely. before we get off the topic of the cadence drill and the acceleration gliders, you put together some very nifty videos for people who want to see this stuff and see it in action versus just read about it in your book. So I will post a link in today's show notes about where you can find those videos. And I always tell people, read the book, and if it doesn't make sense, go look at the video. And if you still have questions, go to a retreat and let Jeff do it with you. That's the top of the line right there.
Absolutely. We've got some really great retreats coming up in Carmel this fall in November and December and January and going into the next year. And we've got some beach retreats, too. We just set one for December the 1st through the 3rd.
Very good. So thanks, Jeff, for all that good run, walk, run stuff. And now let's head on to the Magic Mile part of the show where we let the listeners ask you some questions.
It's time to see how you are progressing in your training. So it's time for a Magic Mile.
Got a couple of audio submissions here, so I'd like to let you listen to these first and then give us your opinions. So our first one is from our good friend Suzanne from Kentucky. So check this out and we'll chat after you listen to this, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. This is Suzanne from Lexington, Kentucky, and I have a question. I am a heat-induced asthmatic, which means huffing and puffing is really sort of a way of life for me. I'll get to huffing and puffing just talking sometimes, and usually always talking and walking. That said, running with the run, walk, run method has really increased my lung capacity. Now, do you have another way of telling if there you've reached your max? This is as far as you can go beyond the huffing and puffing rule. Thank you.
Thanks, Suzanne. That is a question I get asked a lot because, as you know, and the others out there who suffer from asthma, asthma is a stress-induced condition. And the good news is there's something you can do about it in terms of reducing the stress of running. The first thing you need to do is to monitor your huffing and puffing. And when you start to increase the rate, you need to back off primarily on the amount of running and walking. You run less, walk more. For example, let's say that on a 60-degree day or 55-degree day that you're comfortable running 30 seconds and walking 30 seconds, and that's been verified by your Magic Mile as a training pace for you. Well, if you're huffing and puffing for any reason, it could be the pollen situation, could be heat, could be wind. And there are a lot of other conditions that can, hills and so forth. The bottom line is take a walk, a little bit longer walk of 2 to 3 minutes to reset everything and to get the breathing under control, and then start back at a revised rate. In this case, if you were running 30-30 before and were huffing and puffing, then after the 2 to 3 minute walk, you would run 15 seconds and walk 30. And that usually resets everything. And at some point, you may find that you can do 15 run and 20 walk or 25 walk. But the bottom line is reduce that breathing rate, because that is a sign of extra stress buildup. The other thing that happens, especially in the warm months, is that running is going to raise your core body temperature, and that is a definite source of stress on the human body and will trigger these asthma attacks or reactions. So if you will, on a hot day, make the adjustments that I'm suggesting, which means that at 65 degrees, you would slow down 30 seconds a mile over what you were running at 60, and then you adjust your run, walk, run at the same time. So look at the website and see how that works. But if you're huffing and puffing you could get into a stress reaction, a asthma reaction later in the run. So back off, reset everything, especially on long runs. You definitely want to keep the pace very slow.
Very good. Our next one comes from our buddy Tony. He's getting ready to run 2 half marathons in October. He doesn't mention whether one's at the beginning or at the end, so I'm not quite certain what the time difference is between the two, but he'd like to know what a good amount of training would be between the races so to maintain and recover from the first and lead into the second one. He usually runs 3 to 4 days a week. You have any suggestions for Tony?
Yes, Tony, this is the way of our half marathon life these days, running several of them. But the good news is if you keep a 13 to 14 miler every 2 weeks, then you don't have to train. You stay in shape for that. And some people that I know will actually schedule their half marathons every 2 weeks so that a half marathon is the long run for the next one, and they stay in shape that way. Now, if there's more than 2 weeks in between, here's how it works. If there are 3 weeks in between, then you could either run a 13 to 14 miler 10 days in the halfway zone in between the 3 weeks, or you could just use the first one as your long run, and the best way to adjust your endurance is on the first one, before and after that first one, walk or run, walk, run for a total of about 3 miles. And that extra endurance would then give you the equivalent of 13 to 14 miles 3 weeks later when you run your next one. If there are more than 3 weeks in between, then you try to get into segments of 2 weeks so that every 2 weeks you would be running a 13 to 14 miler. And the only exception to that is if you build your long run up to 16 miles, very slow 16 miler, then you can hold that endurance for 3 weeks. And that's why I was suggesting that if there were 3 weeks in between, that you could add another 3 miles to the race experience, and then you'd be covered for that.
Very good. We have a question from Tracy that I know we've had on a show earlier, and I think you get quite often, but we haven't discussed it for a while. She's running the Erie, Pennsylvania Marathon. Actually, she's doing it this weekend, and she's trained using your method for the last 5 months. She read the book Qualifying for Boston, but she is concerned about being a polite Galloway run walker. She's very nervous about the start particularly and how to let people know that she's doing the interval. And aside from raising her hand, do you have any other suggestions on how she can let other folks know that she's going to be walking for 30 seconds?
Well, this is a good topic to bring up regularly, and just to go put things in a nutshell, because we regularly go over this, it's best in most races to line up at the back of your corral, because if the race is chip timed, then your race doesn't start until you cross the starting line. So the idea is to wait a little bit so that the people in your corral will spread out ahead of you. And that gives you freedom of movement during the first few miles and often during the whole race itself. So it helps to have a timer, and set the timer for a 5-beep countdown if you're in a crowded situation. And during the first few beeps, you want to move over to the side of the road to take the walk break. And as you're moving over to the side, raise the hand that is on the outside, the side that other runners would see. And then say pretty loud, "I'm taking a walk break. Walking in 4, walking in 3, walking in 2. And along with the 5-beep countdown, after the first few, the runners around you know what you're doing, and they'll stay away from you. But Most people in races are very supportive, and we all work together so that we're supporting one another and giving empathy as we go through these races. And you're absolutely right in wanting to get over to the side and signal to people that you're taking that walk break.
Very good. We have another recording from Tricia, who, by the way, Jeff, is married to Tony, who sent us a question also. They had a 19-year anniversary just yesterday. So Tricia's been an extra miler for a long time, and she dragged her husband Tony into the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run, and they're both enjoying it these days after 19 years.
Well, that's great.
Anyway, let's listen to what Tricia has to say and see if you can help her.
Hi, Kevin and Extra Milers. This is Tricia from St. Louis, and I have a question for Jeff. I had a calf strain about a year and a half ago or so, and this darn right calf just seems to be my weak link, and I know that. So I see a chiropractor about one time a month, and I have him do Graston techniques on it and ART. I get a massage when I'm training for a race probably every like 2 to 3 weeks. I foam roll before and after every run, and I use the stick on my calves too that Chris Twiggs recommended to me in customized training with him. Last night I had a massage, and my massage therapist told me my right calf was very, very tight, and I had noticed this the prior Saturday on a run. What I'm wondering is I don't stretch because I know that you're not a big proponent of stretching, especially static stretching. But I'm getting to the point where I have tried everything else non-stretching to loosen up this calf, and nothing just seems to work. And so my question is, would you ever recommend gentle stretching of any sort after a run? And if not, what would you recommend for me? Thank you so much.
Well, first of all, congratulations, Tricia and Tony, on your 19 years together. That's fabulous. And a couple that runs together has a great reason to stay together and support one another. It's wonderful stuff. With a calf strain, the best treatment that I have ever found is deep tissue massage. And so I would ask around and try to find a sports massage person who is very well recommended by other athletes and can help you get the junk in the area of the calf moved out. I have had 2 very serious calf strains and pulls, and I have found that the right massage therapist can really move that junk out so that the area can completely heal. And I will tell you that I went for over a year with repeated instances until I got a series of deep tissue massages. On one, it took 11 treatments before it finally went away, but it did finally go away completely, and I hadn't had any problems with it. Another tool that helps to bring blood flow in for the healing is our BFF massage tool. And listeners will get a $50 discount on that device, I will give the secret word to Kevin so he can put it in show notes. But that really brings blood flow in, and so there are 2 different operations. One of them is to get somebody really good to zero in on where the damage is and move the bio junk out of the area, because there's scar tissue and other things there. And then the second is to bring the blood flow in so that the healing can occur. And the best instrument I found for that is our vibrating massage tool, the BFF. Now, I don't recommend any form of stretching because there is no research to indicate that that is going to help. As a matter of fact, there are a growing number of studies showing that injured runners, particularly in the calf and Achilles tendon, will tend to aggravate that and keep it injured over a long period of time. So massage will definitely help, and stretching usually weakens the area and also prolongs the injury.
Very good. Thanks a lot for those questions. We had a few more. We just don't have time for all of them. I'll tee those up maybe for the next episode.
Good.
And we'll get to those, Jeff. Thanks very much. So the last topic that I want to talk about this morning is, of course, the JG 13.1 and some updates. And on that topic, I know that Tony and Tricia are planning on coming to the race this year. They've been there. I know Tricia, I think, has been there for every one, and she brought Tony along last year. The BFF has been at, I think, every one of your expos, and I don't know whether you know for sure if it's going to be there again, a demo for that thing. But if it's there, I'm going to drag Tricia over and let her try that thing at the expo.
Absolutely. We will have it available for demo.
Very good. So the race, once again, for those of you who have been living under a rock, is December the 15th through the 17th. That's the race weekend. And although we spoke about this last time, I want to remind the listeners who your special keynote speaker, because it's rather amazing. Tell us about your buddy who's going to be there this year.
It's Billy Mills, who is the most inspirational speaker I have heard, period. I mean, he is an Olympic gold medalist. He has helped thousands of people improve the quality of their lives. He's a Native American, has an amazing story. It will inspire you. It will touch you. And you will come away from that weekend just with a wonderful perspective on life that Billy has. And there'll be chances, several instances during the weekend when you can come and talk with him up close and personal. As I say, he doesn't go to many races anymore. So this is a very rare opportunity, and we are just excited.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And I would tell the listeners, of course, we want you there to run this race. But if for some reason you can't actually run the race, if you've got family and friends, bring them with you for no other reason than to hear what Billy's got to say. Because whether you're a runner or not, you'll come away feeling better about everything.
Absolutely.
The other thing I wanted to tee up for you, Jeff, you and I have been talking a little bit about a lot of our listeners who have been telling me that they want to be there so bad, and they're still trying, but some of them, for one reason or the other, with life getting in the way, can't actually get to Atlanta on that weekend. That's understandable. We had somewhere around 25 extra milers last year, and we're hoping to beat that by quite a bit this year based on the feedback I'm getting. But the fact is there's still a lot of folks that are not going to be able to get to Atlanta. So we're talking about some extra ideas to get folks involved from the virtual idea, from the virtual standpoint. And I know you can actually run this race if you do the virtual all the way up into 2018 and still qualify. But the idea would be to put together a virtual race and have everybody do it together that morning, get out to do your virtual race with us that morning. We've got some pretty nifty ideas about building a community of runners just for that morning. And I'm going to be asking in the next few weeks, if it's okay, to help me put together some of that virtual stuff. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's a fabulous idea. As a matter of fact, several people have told me that they have used the date of our race as a training run to get in a long training run. And they felt the empathy and support of the runners who were running exactly at the same time that they were. And of course, they'll end up winning a medal via entering our virtual.
So one of the things, we'll get into more of the specifics as we go forward, but one of the big things is I know that if you're in Atlanta for that race, you're always up on the podium and you start the race. Perhaps we could get you to actually start our virtual race for us as well on maybe a live Facebook.
I love that idea. A growing number of people have told me that they have participated in, listened, or been a part of podcasts that had a live element to them. And I really think the excitement of the race, and of course the basic fact is this is a Galloway run walk run event, is something that could bring people together, and that's what we're all about, Kevin.
Perfect. So stay tuned. We'll get in some more live streaming thoughts about. We're going to take you to the expo with us, to the live podcast, to the meetup, to the extra mile meetup, even even some podcasts during, or I mean some live Facebook feeds during the race. So you'll want to be a part of that, and we'll come out with some more details as time goes on. That's all I got, Jeff. I appreciate your time this morning. I'm very happy to hear that you and your family came through unscathed with Irma, and we'll be chatting again very, very shortly.
Well, I hope that you and your family are doing well and getting your endorphins in. And Kevin, I already am looking forward to our next podcast together.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a good one.
Bye. After a great endorphin rush, let's end this episode with a well-deserved cool down.
All right, so let's head over to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway Edition Hotline, and welcome back to the podcast, Coach Chris Twiggs, and our Extra Mile Podcast guinea pig, Chris Darling. Good afternoon, you two. How's things?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Mr. Twiggs, how are you doing?
Hanging in there, Kevin, hanging in.
All right, so listen, before I get started, in full disclosure, we're taping this on Wednesday the 6th, which is just a couple of days before a hurricane is to hit right down there where you two are located. Are you guys okay with this? What's your plans, Coach Twiggs? I know you live right near Jacksonville, and that thing's heading your way, right?
Yeah. You know, I know you on in a previous version of this podcast, I know you interacted with Tim Deegan, who is Donna's husband, Donna 26.2 with Donna. I was just watching him on TV, in fact. So it's good to know. It's always nice to see the guy, the meteorologist on the television, who's telling you what he thinks is going to happen. It's nice to know that you've shared countless 20-mile and longer runs with the guy, and you trust him. So right now we're doing what Floridians do this time of year. We're watching and waiting and looking to see what's going to happen and preparing for the worst and hoping for the best. So, nothing we can do about it at the moment. We'll get the heck out of here though. If Irma sets her sights on us and gets close enough that we can start feeling the effects, we'll get out of here.
Well, we'll be thinking of you, Chris Darling. You don't expect this thing to be much more than maybe a tropical storm when it hit. I mean, that's bad enough, but what are they saying for you?
Yeah, right now, with at least the model that came out this morning, we look like we're going to be okay here in Virginia Beach. Of course, if it turns just a little bit more east, that could put us in a little bit more jeopardy. To be honest, we're kind of hoping it takes a hard right turn and doesn't hit anybody, because sure. I think our country's seen enough of this mess in recent weeks.
Right. Well, we'll be thinking about you, and I'm sure when we hear this podcast, we will all have known where Irma went and what the results are. But we'll be thinking of you in the meantime. So, listen, before we get into the guinea pig discussion, I'd also like to point out that we have two rabid college football fans on the phone too, one of the Florida State Seminoles and the other of the University of North Carolina Tar Heels. So in addition, or as an additional service just for Extra Mile podcast and listeners, I have been able to push two Ohio State fans off of the bandwagon to make room just for you two. And I want to know, are you guys ready to jump on the Ohio State bandwagon yet?
Well, considering my wife is a Clemson fan and she would be quick to remind you about 31-0, yeah. It's probably not a good idea for me to jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah, I noticed your band was nice enough to do that for us last week as well.
Yeah. And Kevin, I thought it was kind of funny.
As you know, Kevin, I grew up a Buckeye.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I have nothing whatsoever against Ohio State, but having spent a great deal of time and a great deal of money at Florida State University, that's definitely where my heart is.
Even when they lose.
And,
yeah. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to make the offer next time we speak, I think, as well. But keep it in mind. So let's get to the guinea pig discussion, and let's recap. We've got Chris Darling, our guinea pig,
who's offered to open up his training schedule and let us watch what happens. If you'll remember, Chris had never officially used Run Walk Run. He signed up for the Galloway Customized Training Program way back on May the 8th. So you're 3 months into that plan, Chris. Tell us just kind of generically from a high level, what are you thinking so far?
I think, and this has probably held true through the entirety of the time I've been on the program, what I like the most is every workout has a purpose. It's not just going out and logging miles to log miles. There's a reason for every workout, which helps to create a little bit of variety. You do develop workouts that you like more than others, and you kind of dread certain ones when you see them on the schedule. Hello, 800s. But, just the focus of each workout, you know, all changing up a bit, it keeps things fresh, especially, you know, right now for me, it's like the dog days of summer. Training in the summer sucks. And, there have been good runs, there have been lousy runs, and that's all part of the training cycle. But I still feel like from a fitness level, from a running level, I'm in a much better place than I was even back in May when I first started the program, despite the fact that the last few weeks have had some rough runs.
I noticed when I was doing the official program last year that if Coach Twiggs had me going out doing a, let's say, just acceleration gliders or one of those other quality runs, but they weren't necessarily very, very long in distance, I noticed I, at the beginning, I felt, oh man, I only did, 3.5 miles today. And I don't know what the feeling was, but it wasn't necessarily good. Are you getting over that kind of thing? Is it feel good to do something quality that's not necessarily long?
I definitely got past that. Probably it took me about a month to get past that, because I had been averaging, just on my daily runs, probably anywhere from between 4 and 6 miles during the week, and then my long runs would be anywhere from, at the time 10 to 13, because I wasn't even thinking marathon really before then. So these little 3.5 mile runs, I was kind of like, wow. But then once I really dug in and started doing the workouts the way they were described and really pushing hard on those, acceleration glider segments or the cadence drills, or then, my drill run days always have an optional 15-minute tempo section after the drills. And I think the first couple of times I was like, well, it's optional, I'll leave that off. But then I decided to add that in. And when you put in 15 minutes of tempo work right after those drills, 3.5 miles, and you're suddenly pretty fatigued if you've done it right.
Mm-hmm.
I think once I started realizing that and felt that I only went 3.5 miles, but I'm a whole lot more tired than I am after I had done 6 miles a month earlier, I'm probably getting some more quality work done in the shorter time frame than I was on those 6 milers.
I noticed you did another magic mile recently. Tell us how that went.
That one went absolutely fantastic, which shocked me, to be honest, because I had, if memory serves me, it was several weeks ago now, but I had to drive back from Maryland, another one of those back and forth trips, and got in late. Didn't get a whole lot of sleep, but still drug my butt out of bed and went and did the run. And seems like the time was 7:13, which knocked from my initial magic mile, I think 14 seconds faster, and I think it was 10 seconds faster than my previous one right before that. Just one of those runs where everything felt great.
Right.
And of course, in the weeks to follow, there have been several ones where nothing felt good, but such is training.
So every magic mile you've had, it's fair to say, has improved, right? Time-wise.
The second one that I did actually went from, I think, 7:27 to 7:30.
Oh, I got you.
And then they started coming back down.
Very good. And you had a less than stellar moment on your last long run. Can you share that with us, that experience?
Sure. I was scheduled to do 20 last Saturday. The weather forecast, and for me to do a 20-miler with my typical weekend schedule means I'm getting up at about 3 and trying to be out the door by 4. Looking at the weather, it looked like I was going to be running in storms, which rain is one thing. Thunder and lightning is a whole other ballgame.
Sure.
So I looked ahead to Monday, with Monday being Labor Day and knowing my schedule was pretty wide open. Monday looked a whole lot more promising, so I pushed the long run off to Monday. Got out the door at 4. Felt pretty good early on. And, you know, didn't go out too fast, was staying comfortable pace, and had mapped out pretty much like a 5-mile loop so I could keep coming by my house and, you know, had a towel soaking in ice just to cool off, cold drinks, more nutrition if I needed it, that I could grab on the way through. First 10 miles went great. Started feeling a little bit of leg cramping creeping in probably around mile 12, but it seemed to work itself out. And then I had just passed my house for the third time. I was just short of 15 miles because it wasn't quite a 5-mile loop. And both my calves at the same time just went into spasms. Tried to walk it off for about 5 or 10 minutes because in my mind I was so close to the end and really wanted to get to 20. And when I could not get those cramps to let go, I just had to pack it in, which was really frustrating because I felt like I was running at a pretty good clip. I would have hit 15 miles in about 3:10, which I think at that point would be about 10 minutes faster than I've ever hit 15 miles on a long run. Like I said, pacing, and I didn't feel like I was flying. I felt very comfortable pace-wise. There wasn't overexertion. The weather was great. It was like mid-60s. But, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, and spending the weekend watching college football as it was opening weekend just did not lend itself to great dieting practices over the weekend or good hydration. And I think that's probably, having been able to cross several other potential factors off, I think that's probably the biggest contributing factor to what caused that run to stop when it did.
What was the ratio that you had prescribed, or Chris had prescribed to you, and what you were doing?
I've been doing my long runs at 60-30. I did make one minor tweak for the second 5 miles, just playing around with it. I went down to like a 30-15, so I was still keeping the 2-to-1 concept, but just kind of wanted to see what that did to my pace, how I felt. And ironically, those 5 miles, the pace was a little bit faster than my 60-30, and I actually felt a little bit more exerted, but still didn't feel like I was pushing at all. Mm-hmm. But just keeping the 2-to-1, but changing the time frame of it, it was very interesting to see just the change in, you know, maybe it's just that extra 15-second walk break in the 30-second, you know, allowed my heart to slow down just a little bit more because I felt like my heart was pumping a little bit quicker through that segment. And then when I went back to the 60-30s, everything felt the same again. Everything kind of went back to normal.
Sure.
But I was just kind of playing around with it.
Yeah. So, Coach Twiggs, what's the deal with the cramps? What do you think?
Well, I think he's right. It's got to have something to do with his nutrition. And we talked about, well, sometimes it has to do with the temperature that you're running in. Well, no, the temperature seemed to be just right. Well, sometimes it has to do with having enough hydration on the run. No, he had enough water with him. Well, maybe it has to do with not having electrolytes during the run. No, he was, you know, he knew what he was doing and had an electrolyte drink. And so we really eliminated a lot of the things. And then we got down to, well, what was the hydration and nutrition like in the 48 hours prior to that? And you know, is as you mentioned, being a football fan, you know, both Chris's here spent a lot of time in front of the television on that Saturday and even Sunday, and so it would seem that those activities that we partake in when we're watching football are not necessarily in alignment with the best activities to prepare for a long run. And we really need to think about that when we are training and when we are racing. We need to think about not just how we're going to proceed with our nutrition race morning and during the race, but what's the day and the 2 days prior, you know, what does that look like? And so, you know, making sure that the beverage that we're drinking was produced by, you know, by Gatorade or by Pacific Health Labs or by Tailwind, but not by Budweiser and, you know, Heineken. So and so those are the things that that I think probably contributed is just not having proper pre long run nutrition, because we've just eliminated just about every other cause of the cramping, and so it was probably you know, to be a cliche, it was something he ate or something he drank, or that combination for those couple of days prior to the long run.
What did you do, or what will you do to his calendar, to his schedule, to make up for the fact that he got a 14 in when he should have gotten it, or is hoping to get a 20 in?
Or 15, I should say, for 20. So the plan is to punish him brutally for his transgression.
More than telling him not to drink. More than telling him not to drink beer. Is that got some?
No. So. I will point out, anybody that noticed the picture that I posted, because I had my own 20-mile run over the weekend, and anybody that saw the picture I posted in the Facebook group sees that I saved my beer for after the run. But the plan is he's going to be able to stay on target. That's just fine. A lot of people, when they've had a long run that didn't go right, they weren't able to complete it, they try to go out after a couple of days and run it again to make up for it. And the problem with that is you're not allowing yourself proper recovery from a long run. It was still a long run. Up until a few weeks ago, this would have been the longest he had ever run in his life. So it was still a long run. It just wasn't the distance we wanted for that particular run. So what we're going to do, knowing that 15 miles is about how far he got, we're going to hold that as the distance of his long run. We're going to say that was his last long run was 15 miles. And in a couple of weeks, when he gets to the 23 miler on his schedule, what we're going to have him do is walk the first 8 miles. And then he'll do his run walk of the last 15. That'll give him 23 for the day, 23 for that total run, that total workout. But because he's only doing run walk for 15 of it, which is the same as what he recently did, his body should not have an issue with it. It won't be as big a jump or as big a shock to his system as it would be if he were to try to do run walk for the entire 23, having only done 15 before that. So he'll be able to do that. Hopefully conditions will be good again in terms of the weather, and it gives him an opportunity to practice good pre-long run and pre-race nutrition and hydration. And then once he gets through that 23 miler, he'll be in good shape for the 26 a few weeks later, which will be his last long run prior to his marathon. And I want to point out, there's nothing wrong with having a long run go bad. There's nothing surprising with having a long run go bad. It happens. And just about anybody who's trained for a marathon will tell you one of your long runs is something's going to go wrong with it, whether it's a blister or it's heat or it's cramps or something can happen. And so it's good to get that out of the way during a long run try to analyze it as we've done, figure out what must have been the cause, and then make adjustments. And having this happen on the 20-miler is a blessing because that means he's got two more long runs where he can practice to try to fine-tune things before the marathon itself.
Very good. So I have a couple of questions related to that, Coach Twiggs. His next run will be we'll walk the 8 and run the 15. That brings him back up to 23. So then the subsequent long run to that, which will be, I'm guessing, maybe 25-ish or whatever, will he run walk that in 26? So he'll run walk that entire thing or no more walking? Okay. He's back.
Absolutely. He won't have to add any additional walking. And you'll remember, you know, going back last year when we had Bethany, who had not done a 26-mile training run prior to a marathon. And so we had her, she'd done a half marathon, so we had her do 13 miles of walking and then do run-walk for 13. That gave her 26-mile training, you know, quote, run, you know, training event and set her up for success with the marathon. And so we're going to do the same thing here with Chris, which is we say 15 is his last long run. So we'll walk the difference. We want him to get to 23. If he were just going up to 17 or 18, we'd say, yeah, go ahead and run walk the whole thing. But because the jump would actually be 8 miles, which is a lot, we're just going to have him walk that 8, which is a nice, safe thing to do, and then do run walk. And once he hits that, he'll be fine. He could realistically, if it got really hot, and if you've been reading what we've been putting out, what I've posted and talked about, or what Jeff has put in his blogs or talked about, when it gets really, really hot this time of year, you can turn your long run into a walk and walk the entire thing. You still get the same endurance benefit. So if he needed to, Chris could walk the entire 23 miles, and he would still, when the 26 miler came along, he'd be able to do his regular run walk ratio for that 26 and do fine. So, but we're not going to tell him to walk the entire thing because we know he can do run walk for 15 because he just did it.
The other question I have is that when Chris did his 15 over the weekend, and he actually posted on our Facebook page about it, a little bit about it. At that point, he made a comment that, and I you could just tell, and he posted the picture that he wasn't happy with what happened. But he made the comment that he might try to go out. This was in the morning. Might try to go out later that afternoon and get the rest in. Mm-hmm. When I read that, I thought to myself, Jeff probably wouldn't think that was the greatest of ideas. What would you have said if he'd have shot you a note first and said, hey, I only got 15 in, I'm going to go out and try to do another 5 or 6 this afternoon?
It would depend on how soon after the 15. I mean, if he came back in and he needed to regroup, down some Gatorade, take a shower, change clothes, whatever, and he was able to get out there within an hour or two, I'd say go for it. That's fine. You know, that and then, you know, if it was going to be longer than that, if you're talking about several hours, there's not going to be the same training benefit from doing that as there would have been getting the full distance in at once. So, however, there might have been a psychological benefit. So I could understand wanting to do that, and as long as he had done it gently, it would have been okay to do that. But the physical training benefit wouldn't have been there, and so we'd be doing the same thing with the 23. We'd still be saying, keep the 23-miler, but we're going to have you walk the first few miles of it. Had he gotten back out there and finished it up, you know, within an hour or so, two maybe, of coming in off the 15, then we'd have said, yeah, you're good to go. We can count that within the umbrella of being one workout.
Very good. And here's the other question I have about that, Coach, and it's intriguing to me. When Chris was talking about doing his 60-30, I almost I almost interrupted, which I do too often. I almost interrupted him and said, why don't you try, or what about a 30-15? But he went on to say he tried that, which I think is very cool. And I don't want to put words in his mouth. I think he said it felt pretty good to him and felt it a little. And when he went back to the 60-30, you know, maybe his heart got going a little bit faster and all that. So my question to you is, why not 30-15?
Oh,
what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think 30-15 is terrific. I mean, you know, I think Jeff has said on this podcast that he qualified for Boston running using a 30-15 ratio.
Yeah.
So I think it's terrific. The ratio is the same, right? Whether it's 30-15 or 60-30, or for that matter, whether it's 2 minute run, 1 minute walk. That's the same ratio, that 2-to-1 ratio. The question is, what's going to be the right amount of walking in order to recover from whatever running you're doing? So if you're going to run for, we know, we've gone over, I think, the fact that the one-minute walk break we've kind of done away with because we're realizing that it's causing people to slow down toward the end of their long runs. And so people are benefiting from the 30-second walk break as long as they don't run too much in between the walk breaks, and they're not seeing that slowdown. When you go to a 15-second walk break, some people just aren't able to recover during that, either because they're running too long in between the walk breaks or because they're running too fast in between the walk breaks. And so for some people, their heart rate's not coming down, they're not catching their breath, they're not comfortable with that. Other people, like Jeff Galloway and like Chris Darling, do great with that. I would say, though, what is going to be best probably and what would probably help Chris the most is to start with 30-15. And then if he feels stronger later in the run, he could adjust and go up to a 60-30 or a 45-15 or a 60, you know, or a 45-30 or whatever. You know, he could adjust from there. Mm-hmm. But to start with that shorter thing, that shorter walk break is probably going to be easier to move on from that as opposed to shifting down to that. I think probably at that point there's going to be that sense of almost desperation as opposed to that sense of building that you get going from a shorter ratio to a longer ratio, if that makes any sense.
Yes, definitely. Interesting. Chris Darling, I want to switch gears, if I could, just for a few minutes here. I don't know that we've really gotten into the specifics of how you get Coach Twiggs' information and know exactly every day what you're supposed to go out and do. Can you talk a little bit about the Final Surge program and what that, I mean, if I'm a runner, I've never seen that. What's that look like and what's the process? How does it work?
Well, the great thing is, I mean, from the get-go, my entire training calendar for this 6-month period was loaded in as soon as I got the acceptance into the program and all that. You can look at it from your laptop or your desktop, or they have a mobile app, at least they do for iPhone, where I can kind of see it a week at a time. And I can also, I get an email every night, I think it comes through right around midnight, telling me what the next 2 days worth of work is going to look like. So, I mean, there's three different ways I can look at it. And it just, you know, it helps me, you know, plan my week out. If I need to run at different times, what's going to be the best time to get in what I need to get in, and things like that. But, you know, to be able to look ahead and plan ahead, knowing what's coming up, it's really just a really cool feature because it saves me from having to try to input into my own, you know, online calendar and keeping track of that because it's already there in Final Search, and I can just open the app up and look at it.
And you, I think, you have a Garmin GPS watch?
Yes, I do.
And that syncs with this as well?
Yes, my Garmin syncs to final surge, usually within 2 or 3 minutes of me finishing a workout. My workout shows up in final surge already. So it's
very good.
It's very convenient, and you know, really the only thing that I will, because you can edit your workout in final surge, like on walk days, my Garmin doesn't differentiate between running and walking. Every workout's a run. So I can just, I mean, even though coach could look at the pace and tell, hey, he walked this, he didn't run this, I can just go in and edit on final surge and say, hey, this was a walk, not a run, just to appease my OCD on that one.
Yeah, I think every runner has a little bit of that OCD going on. Very good. So, Chris, darling, you are ultimately aiming for the Richmond Marathon in on November the 11th. I'm sure you're aware that that's only 65 days, 16 hours, 54 minutes, and 10 seconds away, right? How are you feeling?
Yeah.
How's your mental state?
I was feeling really good after my 17-miler about 3 weeks ago. And the combination of a subpar half marathon at the end of August and then the training run that went kaput last weekend, psyche's taken a little bit of a hit, but I've bounced back from tougher stuff than this before, and I'm not going to let this knock me down. I got a chance to see one of the guys that's running Richmond with us a couple weeks ago, so that's always kind of a boost, and he actually has a countdown timer on his phone to remind him, which I thought was kind of funny.
That's Anthony, right?
Yeah, that's Anthony.
Yeah. Anthony's kind of crazy, I think.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So, Coach Twiggs, what sort of advice are you giving him, like right now, with just 65 days to go?
I'm not worried at all. He's still got, he's got a couple of long runs. He's only has two long runs left. The next one is going to be, as we discussed, is going to be a significant amount of walking at the beginning, and then he'll have the last one. The key is just to make sure he does those at training pace or slower. So predicted race pace plus 2 minutes per mile or slower. And as you know, if it's hot, we'll slow down according to Jeff's heat adjustment scale, and use those as opportunities to practice everything. Practice what he's going to wear in the marathon. Practice what he's going to eat the day before. Practice what he's going to eat that morning. What he's going to drink during the race. All of that stuff. We have two really good race rehearsals in terms of clothing and nutrition and hydration. And then he's got some tempo runs on the schedule. We're done with speed work. We don't have any more speed work on the schedule because this is his first marathon. And so all of those 800s that he was doing and dreading, those are in the rearview mirror for now. He can talk about bringing those back in or even bumping up to mile repeats when he trains for his second marathon. But for now, we're going to keep those off the schedule and just try to recover from each long run fully before we've got the next long run on the schedule and enjoy the runs that he has left. So I'm not concerned at all. I'm really excited. I've been looking forward to this point in his training, and as I told Chris, I've been looking forward to his, you know, his 20 plus mile runs for a long time. So it's great to see him doing those. And I really enjoy the conversations, these conversations, of course, for the podcast, but I also enjoy the conversations that we have on our customized training chats, because we do those on Tuesdays. And Chris has been showing up to those and sharing with the other customized clients how his training is going. And we all give each other pep talks, and it's actually been a lot of fun with the conversations, because I'll be talking to somebody answering a question, and I'll see the chat going on the side. People, the clients are typing in, the customized members are typing in suggestions to each other about nutrition that they found that works, or hydration packs that they're using, and all stuff like that. So,
Very
no,
cool.
This is an exciting time. I'm not concerned at all about Chris.
Very good. So I know we'll speak before October the 21st, but Chris Darling, I think you've still got something in Baltimore going on the 21st. You still aiming for the Baltimore Running Festival?
Yeah, I'll be there, and actually JD will be there as well. I think he and I are both doing they call it the Baltimore Marathon Challenge, where you run a 5K, and then about a half hour later you take off on the half marathon. But we're going to, I think both of us are just treating that as a long training run, and we're just going to hang out and enjoy that. Cause that's just, Baltimore's a great race. I did it last year, had a blast doing it. And to be able to go in this year and not give a flip if I PR it or if I beat the time I ran it last year and just, you know, and enjoy the day is going to be, something I'm looking forward to. And then the following week, I actually have a local 10K here in Virginia Beach that, again, I'm not going to kill myself running. I just go out there and have a good time with some friends.
Good for you. So it'll be interesting as we get closer and we speak again and we get closer to that Baltimore Running Festival, see what advice Coach Twiggs has for you for running a moronathonic or whatever the heck you called it, that 5K, and then following up with a half, and that'll be interesting to see. That's all I have for today, guys. I appreciate it. Good luck with Irma, like I said, and let us all know on Facebook how things are going, not just with your training, but how that storm's coming along too. Good luck.
Thanks, Kevin. Last year, our family evacuated when Matthew was heading this way, and I was asked by a friend with connections to CNN to write an article about it that they were nice enough to put up on the website. So I'm going to repost that here if we do end up evacuating, just kind of explaining why we get out of the way of these things, and the fact that it's way better for you to come back home and assess the devastation afterwards and think that you can sit there and do something about it. So any listeners that are hearing this, Irma is going to be long gone by the time this comes out, but hurricane season is not even close to over. So, if you're in a coastal area and one of these things is coming close to you, just get out of the way. There's no good reason to stay put unless you are, National Guard or, emergency room physician that's being told they need you there.
Right. Very good. Very good. Thanks again, guys, and we'll chat again shortly. Take care.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Look forward to it.
Okay, there you go. Another episode of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Good stuff, huh? Hey, listen, during Jeff's chat, we spoke about some tips for running faster. I think it's important to note that Jeff reminds us that running faster does not always make us a happier runner. Jeff promises that run, walk, run will get you to the finish line with a smile on your face and upright. Obviously, he's also against puking and death. But should speed be important, his plan also has modifications for that too. I think it's very cool how run, walk, run has different variations and something for everyone. I also wanted to point out that every episode we get lots and lots of questions. So first of all, I'd like to say thank you very much for that. And please keep the questions coming. But with respect to some questions, some of them demand some rather long answers or a lot of follow-up. You know, there's not enough information in the question for Jeff to give his opinion. For example, I get questions sometimes that just say, I run 20 miles a week, 3 days a week. What should I do for my next marathon? Right? I don't think anyone should expect Jeff to be able to answer that in a couple of minutes on a podcast. There are books, there are customized training plans, there's e-coaching, things like that, where those kinds of questions are probably more should be more directed. But anyway, if you've got some rather generic short questions, we'd love to hear them. I was unable to get to all of them this episode, and I apologize for that, but I'll tease some of them up for the next episode. Now, let's move on to the Jeff Galloway 13.1. First of all, make no mistake, we want you to be in Atlanta with us. That's where the majority of the fun is really going to take place. More on all of those plans later. But option number two is always the Jeff Galloway 13.1 virtual. So what Jeff and I and many on his team have been discussing is exactly how to create a virtual Extra Mile podcast family atmosphere. We'd like to, at least as much as possible, make you feel like you're running with us in Atlanta that Sunday morning, no matter where you happen to be running. So, as we said, we're putting together some plans right now for this Extra Mile podcast, Jeff Galloway 13.1 virtual. Our ultimate plan is to include you in on as much of the Atlanta stuff as we can. So far we've got in the works a Facebook Live stream of events like the speakers at the expo, the live Extra Mile podcast recording at the expo, the Extra Mile podcast meetup with Jeff, and as Jeff alluded to, even asking Jeff a couple minutes before the Atlanta start to do a live Facebook race start for the virtual runners as well. So, what do you need to do? Number one, enter the race. Get yourself entered in that virtual Jeff Galloway 13.1. I'll add the web link in today's show notes. And number two, start training, right? It is mid-September, so you've got 3 months to train. If you're not training already and you need some help to get there, we'll help you with that as well. Just get started right now. Jeff also mentioned his new association with Carissa Ann. Chris is an Orlando-based registered dietitian. She's got a very, very diverse background in nutrition and fitness. She's also, as Jeff mentioned, the announcer for some Run Disney events as well as the Track Shack running series. So she is certainly well qualified. So if you've got any of those burning nutrition and fitness questions you'd like Carissa to help us out with, send them to me and we'll get her on the show. Ask her to help us out, help you all out. Also, we've already scheduled Carissa as our special guest, one of our special guests for the live podcast event at the Jeff Galloway 13.1 this year. Also, Jeff did mention the BFF massage tool that is available on his website and that listeners could get a $50 discount on that. I'll put that in the show notes. But just so you know, when you buy that at Jeff's website, if you enter the code GWINBFF, right? GWINBFF, you'll get that $50 discount. I'll stick that in the show notes as well in the link. Lastly, I did get another stash of Squish Bands from my buddy John over at Squish Band. So I think you ought to stay tuned for how you can win one of those very shortly. Check out the Facebook page and you'll be the first to know how and when for that. Or, better yet, you can show your thanks to John's support by just ordering one with the podcast discount of 15%. And I'll add that to the show notes as well. So that's all I got. Thanks for the download in the last couple hours of your life. We don't take that lightly. Thanks for all the questions. Please keep them coming. And you're also welcome to give us a good review over in iTunes and help others find this run, walk, run information as well. So until the next time, y'all take care and enjoy your extra mile.
joining us for this edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway Edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show or send your audio questions for Jeff or Chris to podcast@jeffgalloway.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, enjoy your extra mile.